You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, since our church is named Bethlehem, this sermon is the first of five in what I am calling the Bethlehem series. When we hear the word Bethlehem, we probably automatically think about the place where Jesus was born, and we also think about our congregation. But there's really much more to the word Bethlehem than that. As we get into this series tonight, I want to answer a lot of questions in the whole series, so I want to go down through a whole bunch of questions now. Some of these I will answer tonight, some of them I will answer in the other parts of this five-part series. These are the questions. How many times does the word Bethlehem appear in the Bible? What is the meaning of the word Bethlehem? What is the first mention of the word Bethlehem in the Bible? What are the various names used for Bethlehem, variations of the word Bethlehem in the Bible? What can be said about modern-day Bethlehem? It still is a city today. How does Bethlehem play a key role in a number of important ways in connection with the book of Ruth? Why is David connected to Bethlehem? What does the Bible say about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem? How did God use Caesar Augustus in order to fulfill the prophecy of the Savior being born in Bethlehem? How are Joseph and Mary connected to Bethlehem? And finally, how should all of us be like the shepherds who heard of the Savior's birth in Bethlehem? That's a lot of questions, but we still have a whole series ahead of us, and we're going to address all of those and more in this series. So I'm so glad you're here to begin the series with me tonight as we look at part one. Going further in the sermon now, we come first of all to Bible appearances of the word Bethlehem in the Bible. There are a total of 49 of them, so 43 of them, they do refer to what we might expect. They refer to the famous Bethlehem where Jesus was born, and that Bethlehem, that was given to the tribe of Judah when they entered the promised land in connection with Joshua leading the people in. Where is that famous Bethlehem at? If you take a look at the map that you have there in your service folder, you'll see the famous Bethlehem is down in the southern part of the country, about 6 miles south-southwest of Jerusalem. And then, thinking about other times when Bethlehem appears in the Bible, it appears 5 times in connection with a man who had the name Bethlehem. So if someone's looking for a name, you might suggest, hey, why don't you name the person Bethlehem? Okay, that would fit right in with the Bible. And then there is one other reference out of the 49. So we did 43, we did 5, that would be 48. So there's one more. So there's another Bethlehem in the Bible. That's referring to another town of Bethlehem with the same name. So that's how it works, isn't it, in the United States, where we have Cleveland, Ohio, and we have Cleveland, Tennessee, for example, and probably other Clevelands in other states as well. So here we have the Bethlehem that we're familiar with, and then there's another Bethlehem. So again, if you take a look at the map there, you'll see way up to the north, north of Nazareth, you see another Bethlehem. So the way it worked out was that when they conquered the land, we should say when God gave them the promised land, even though there were some battles involved, but when God gave it to them, the tribe of Judah received the Bethlehem in the south that we're most familiar with, but it was the tribe of Zebulun that received the other Bethlehem in the north. Really going forward now in the series, we're not going to say anything else about the Bethlehem in the north. That Bethlehem is in ruins today, so there's really no town there anymore, but the one that we're familiar with, that is still an important city today. We're going to talk much more about it as we go forward in this series. Coming to the meaning of the name Bethlehem. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, we don't have just names of people and of cities, but they have meanings behind them. So when it comes to Bethlehem, the first part of the word Beth means house, and the second part of the word Lehem means bread. So Bethlehem means house of bread. That's what the name means. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, who is the bread of life, was born in the house of bread? Some people would say, oh, that's just a coincidence. But does God work like that? No way. God has this all figured out. He has it all lined up. Also, too, think about it like this. As we need bread for our bodies, so we need Jesus for our souls. So another connection there. We know, as Jesus said of himself, we know he is the way and the truth and the life. So he is someone who is most valuable to us because, as he declared, there is no other way to the Father in heaven other than through him. So even though the rest of the world might not be thinking much about him, we know how valuable he is, and we know how blessed we are when we have the bread of life. Going further in the sermon tonight, we find the place in the Bible where the word Bethlehem is mentioned first. In order to find that place, we have to go to Genesis chapter 35. So we're in the very first book in the Bible. And this is something that takes place a little bit more than 2,000 years after creation. So I don't know how much longer Bethlehem has been around prior to that, but we know that at least from our perspective today, about 4,000 years ago, Bethlehem was in existence. So it's a town and a city today that has been around for an awful long time, about 4,000 years. In Genesis chapter 35, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, "So Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, which is another name for Bethlehem. And the Bible says that Jacob set up a pillar over her tomb. It is the pillar of Rachel's tomb, which is there to this day." So we might say, well, who was Rachel? What's the big deal about Rachel? Why do we have a Bible passage about her? Well, let's take a look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we refer to the three of them as patriarchs. So they are the fathers, in a sense, of the entire nation of Israel. So if you think about Abraham, he was married to Sarah, and they had one son, and his name was Isaac. And then going further, we think about Isaac, and Isaac was married to Rebekah, and God blessed them with two sons, Esau and Jacob. And then going further, Jacob, now the grandson of Abraham, Jacob wanted to marry Rachel. She's the one he fell in love with. So he thought he was marrying Rachel, but do you remember the story there from the Bible? So when they had a veil back in those days, it wasn't just some kind of a decorative veil like a bride might wear today, but it's kind of a veil like this. So with a veil like this on, I could be me, or maybe I could be my brother, and you couldn't really tell by seeing that much of me, right? So when Jacob got married, he thought he was marrying Rachel, and he found out not much later that he actually had married Leah, her older sister. So the father there thought, wait now, I can't marry off my younger daughter until I've married off my older daughter. So what happened is that Jacob got tricked, but he still wanted to marry Rachel though, so he did that too. He ended up with both of them as his wives. And then what happened? Well, God blessed Jacob with 12 sons and one daughter. So Jacob is also known as Israel. So those 12 sons, they had children and grandchildren and so on. And each one of them grew into a large tribe of people. So we call them the 12 tribes of Israel. And the 12 tribes of Israel eventually became the nation of Israel. So all this fits together with Rachel and also with the little town of Bethlehem. Kind of getting at the history here of the name of our congregation. And then we have various names for Bethlehem in the Bible. Sometimes it's not just a straightforward Bethlehem, but in the Bible, Bethlehem is called Ephrath. So that is the reference that's used in connection with Rachel, where she died, Ephrath. When we look at the prophecy that the Son of God would be born in Bethlehem, the Bible says Bethlehem Ephratah. So it's still the same place, but they make it a little bit longer, Bethlehem Ephratah. And probably they're stating it that way in order to distinguish it from the other Bethlehem on the map that's in the north. They wanted to make sure, oh no, we're talking about this other Bethlehem in the south, since back then both of them would have been in existence. Also, too, in the Bible, sometimes the Bethlehem that we're talking about, the famous one, is called Bethlehem in Judah, again, to distinguish it from the Bethlehem in the north, which would have been the Bethlehem in connection with Zebulun. And then we also have in the Bible Bethlehem called the City of David. So we'll come to that in a future part of the series, thinking more about it being the City of David. Also, too, when we think about Bethlehem, we think about in the time of Jesus, of course, Bethlehem was part of Israel and so on. But Bethlehem, though, wasn't always occupied by the Israelites. For example, if you go back to the time prior to the people of Israel entering into the land of Canaan, Bethlehem was in Canaanite territory, so they were in charge of that little town at that time. And then finally, after the people leave Egypt and Moses is leading them, and then Moses dies, and now Joshua is leading them, and Joshua leads the conquest into the promised land, which will be the land of Canaan. That's when they conquered that area, and that's when then the tribe of Judah was given that area where Bethlehem is located. But did they continue to keep control of it? They didn't. Because going further in the Bible, it tells us in 2 Samuel, it says that the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. So you might recall how under King Saul and under King David, there were a lot of battles between the Israelites and the Philistines. Well, something happened at some point where the Philistines ended up capturing the town of Bethlehem, so that was a garrison. That was a place where the Philistine soldiers were there in that place. And it's an interesting story in the Bible because keep in mind, David grew up in Bethlehem. David was very familiar with Bethlehem, and now the enemy is occupying Bethlehem. And David happened to make a comment to some of his mighty men. And David said, oh, would I ever love to have a drink of water from that well in Bethlehem? He's just kind of thinking out loud, if you will. Now, do you know about David's mighty men? David had 30 mighty men. And if you read about them in the Bible, these were such mighty men, so strong, so skilled, so courageous. The Bible tells us that one mighty man went up against 800 other men and defeated all of them. Can you imagine that? So we're not talking using a machine gun. We're talking about hand-to-hand combat. These were truly mighty, impressive men, and God had given David these 30 mighty men in order to help him, protect him, and do whatever he needed. So David happened to make this comment to these mighty men, expecting them to do nothing, but some of them, on their own, they went to Bethlehem. They went into the midst of the enemy. They went among the Philistines, and they got him a drink of water from that well. They brought it back to David, and David was kind of astonished that they did it, but he would not even drink the water because he understood how those men had risked their lives in order to get the water. So he poured the water out into the ground, basically as a thank offering to God for having supplied him with these great men to help him as king and in many other ways in his life. So we have that connection as well. So Bethlehem wasn't always occupied by the Israelites, kind of went back and forth a little bit, but it was a key town, though, because you have Jerusalem, Bethlehem was only about 6 miles away, and then Bethlehem was actually on the road that went into Egypt. Now, do you remember when the baby Jesus, when Herod's soldiers were coming to kill the babies in Bethlehem, what did the angel say to Joseph? Get up, take the child quickly, and go to Egypt. Wasn't it convenient that Bethlehem was located right on the road that leads to Egypt? So again, God had these things all figured out. I want to conclude today by talking a little bit about modern-day Bethlehem. So we still have that ancient little town is now a city today. So Bethlehem is a Palestinian city today. It's located in the central West Bank, and it has a population of about 25,000 people. So it would be a city. If we compare it to the city of Parma, for example, it would be about one-third the size of the city of Parma. But yet, it would be a city, though. I still remember at the place where I was a vicar in Iowa, it was a town, technically, I guess, a city, but it was a city of 10,000 people. Now, that might not sound like much to us, but I want you to know, though, that Carroll, Iowa, where I was at, we had to go 100 miles in order to come to a larger city. So we were kind of like the big city out in the middle of nowhere with 10,000 people, so people would come an awful long way to shop in that city. But it was also basically crime-free, and God really blessed us to be in that place for 1 year back about 25 years ago. They told us there in Carroll, Iowa, that when a place was less than 10,000, it was considered a town. If you were at 10,000 or more, then you were considered a city. So now we can no longer talk about the little town of Bethlehem. I guess we have to talk about the little city of Bethlehem. Anyway, thinking about Bethlehem today, it does have a Muslim majority today. So when I think about that, some of you heard me tell the story before, but this past summer, though, that's when Kathy and I were involved in purchasing a van that the May family used when they were on furlough, home from furlough from Kenya. So we made the purchase from a man who is Muslim, and actually he was telling us that he himself had lived in Bethlehem for some years before coming to the United States. So he was telling us more about the town and so on, and it fits that he's Muslim himself, living in Bethlehem. They have a Muslim majority today. However, though, within Bethlehem, they do have also a significant Christian community there as well. Thinking about the town today, the chief economic sector is tourism, and it does peak around the Christmas season, as you can imagine. A lot of people want to travel to the Church of the Nativity. So the Nativity is talking about the birth of Christ. So what do people do around the Holy Land? They try to figure out exactly where something significant happened, then they build a church in that place, thus the Church of the Nativity. Thinking about Bethlehem today, it has about 30 hotels, so you can go and stay there in a hotel, and it has 300 handicraft workshops. So all these different little workshops making things that are from Bethlehem, so they can make it, they can put the stamp on the bottom that says made in Bethlehem, and that makes it kind of neat, isn't it? I think I have a couple things made in Bethlehem. I should have brought them with me. Maybe on a future night of the series, I'll do that. Also, too, still located there in Bethlehem, kind of where we started tonight, would be Rachel's tomb. It's located near the northern entrance of Bethlehem, so still there to this day. Keep in mind that she died almost 4,000 years ago, yet her tomb is still marked to this day. Finally, with the modern-day Bethlehem, and of course this would also apply to long ago, but it does have a Mediterranean climate, located right there near the Mediterranean Sea, as you know. So that means it has hot and dry summers, mild and wet winters. And then I kind of like the temperature range here. January is the coldest month, and the temperature ranges from 33 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Sounds pretty good for winter time. And then August is the hottest month, and it doesn't get any hotter than 86 degrees. So sounds like a pretty nice place to me. So if we're thinking about relocating, maybe Bethlehem. I've answered a number of questions tonight from what I stated earlier, but as you can tell, though, we have a lot of other questions left to go. So I plan to finish all those questions and more as we finish the series. So there are four more parts left. So that would be next Wednesday, the Wednesday after that, Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day. Those will be the final four parts of what I'm calling the Bethlehem series. Of course, anytime we hear Bethlehem, sure, we can think about our congregation, but let's know most important is that the Savior of the world, he was born in Bethlehem. He is the Christ. He came to take away our sins, and that's really what's of most significance. That is most important. So let us rejoice that though we are poor, miserable sinners, in Christ, we are God's forgiven and holy children. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your great kindness to take action and to make us your very own holy children through the finished work of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, we give you thanks. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.